Good morning. All right, I got affected by the DSTS time this morning, the daylight saving time syndrome. I left my notes in the house, but I got a backup in here. And so, see your eyes. So let's break the ice after that DSTS thing and me. So let's do this. When I go like this, you just say, all right? They go like this, you say, MB, bala la cue, la eriti, Jesus. That's good, man. I'm back now. All right. And so we've covered love and marriage for many Sundays now, Nicole and Dave. 98% they covered. And then I covered 1% last Sunday. And cover 1% today as well. But Pastor tasked me to do this because it's a separate thing. It's more of forced separation. So forced separation, i.e. Noel is teaching in New Jersey and Pachunga is in Las Vegas. Scary. Or let's say Chaplain is in the Persian Gulf, and then Annette is in Illinois. Our Captain Duncan is in the Persian Gulf, and Mom is at Texas Roadhouse with Judy and Judah. So that's simple forced separation. This is not the forced separation, right? I mentioned the concept last Sunday. A word doesn't have a meaning, it has a potential meaning. The context gives the word its meaning. So forced separation during the Biden regime is like separating the kids from the parents on the border, the Texas border. What I'll be talking, what I talked, started last Sunday and it ends today, is forced separation because of the fact that the wife and the kids are in the home port and the husband is somewhere out there serving the country. So that's the forced separation that I'm talking about. Last time we answered the question, how do you protect yourself? And now we're talking about biblical fundamentals. How can we maintain that relationship? Okay? So I'd like everybody to go open Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Flip it here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So we read Ephesians 5 last time. This time, we have Colossians 3, 18 to 21. It's kind of like a parallelism to Ephesians 5. Last week, we defined family, right? The family is the backbone of civilization. We talked about that. Once you fracture that backbone of civilization, it's going to affect the community, the nation, and the world as a whole, okay? Unfortunately, this is the world that we're living in today. All right, technology. In one of John MacArthur's messages, he shared a story, and I quote, "We are living in a culture that is making a complete effort to destroy man. Destroy women. Destroy children. destroy the family, and destroy marriage. Vincent sent all-out massive assault against the family. In the University of Wisconsin, a Christian went to the university to speak to the students about a documentary. I don't know if you've heard this. The protest against him was so significant, the students came out defacing monuments, defacing buildings, chanting obscenities, and harassing those who express Christian values. One of the protesters starts to harass a young man who had a Bible. And began tearing the pages out of his Bible. Then one rotund protester was so enticed by the pages of scripture. Right there. That she chose to use it as a mid-afternoon snack. This female stuck the pages of scripture in her mouth as part of her protest. And the mangled Bible is metaphoric of what this culture feels about the Word of God. This is a common approach of this society to reject what the Bible has to say. Close quote. So last time I mentioned the doctrine of depravity of man. This time I have to mention the doctrine of sin, right? They're kind of like cousins. So we ask a question, what is sin? The Bible word for sin is hamartema, which means to miss a mark. Sin is therefore any action or attitude that does not perfectly hit the mark of obedience to God's commandments. Listen to this. Coming close to the mark is still missing the mark. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And I pause. As an illustration, God commands that we give at least a tithe of our income to the local church where we are members of. Malachi 3:10, leave your tithes to the storehouse. Well, it is easy to see that refusing to give to God at all is sin. We must also recognize that giving 9% buys 10% is also sin. For it misses the mark of perfect obedience to the commandment of God. Hamartema, to miss the mark. The other word is parabasis, to overstep a forbidden line. Man therefore commits sin whenever he purposefully oversteps the line of God's commandment. Acts 1:25 and James 2:11. Sin is thus disobeying a command of God. So, sin is a restless unwillingness on the part of the creature to abide in the sphere and limitation in which the Creator, guided by infinite wisdom, had placed them. This is according to L.S. Schaefer, according to R.C. Sproul as well. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. So I have an example in here. So fire. Fire is a positive thing. It warms your food. Yeah. Lumpia, pancit, gili gili, enchilada, chimichangas, or American tacos for Tim and Mallory. Fire is good. One time we went to, we climbed Mount Fuji. They organized 12 folks from church. We climbed Mount Fuji, successful. And then a couple of months after, we had a three-day Yamanaka camp in Japan. So nice, organized, 44 of us went in there. We used to cook, we did marshmallows, we did s'mores. Just great food and great time of fellowship. Love that one. We did that 2013. I told Judy, before we go back to the States, we'll do that camp and we'll climb Mount Fuji. Successful, successful climb of Mount Fuji. Now, so we can have our budo fight. We can have cook our barbecues and stuff. But outside of the fireplace, it caused the Chicago fire in October 1871. That destroyed 17,000 structures and left 100,000 residents homeless. And unfortunately, just recently, California was hit with a catastrophic fire with an estimated $275 billion damage. Right? And that's the same thing with sex as well. Sex is another example. It is a good, sex is good. Sex is good as long as it is done within the bond of matrimony. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But outside the bond of matrimony, it causes divorce, HIV, AIDS, and misery. Ohana Baptist Church, we were there for 6 years. We had a Bible study group, Filipino Christian Ministry. And one of our Filipinos, or Filipinos, the wife, shared the fact that his wife was deployed, I mean, his or her husband was deployed in the Persian Gulf. Did something, whatever he did out there. And we came back, passed down that sexual transmitted disease to her. After that, he divorced her. So basically, she took care of two kids all through the time. And now she's doing good. He has another family. So don't forget that. Sex is beautiful. It's God-given as long as it is done within the bond of matrimony. Outside that, it causes divorce, HIV, AIDS, and love and misery. Bottom line is, sin is transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. It is anything that displeases God or is contrary to his perceptive will. The Westminster Confession of Faith, 6.6, defines sin as a transgression of God's righteous law, something contrary to God's law, or present both in our nature. Original sin and actions are actual sin. So we talked about the depravity of man. We got that. Federal headship from Adam passed down to generations. One time for about 3 years, I was teaching drug and alcohol program in the Navy. So I traveled a lot of places, Guam, Diego Garcia, and Korea and Japan as well. And you can think about the depravity of man, syphilis, and sin. I've shared this with a teen, so young adults and teens, be careful, because sometimes you hear words of folks do things. This is one of the extremes. There is a drug called Crocodile. So this drug is coming from Russia, and so when you take that, it basically burns your body from inside out. It eats your body from inside out. And the two other folks that got this, coming from Russia, the two other folks that got hit with this were found in Joliet, Illinois. So it's so bad that you eat your body from inside out. So the guy had gangrene. They had to amputate his both of his feet. Right? Original sin. Actual sin. I mentioned this to the teens as well. So there are times that I talk to them about alcoholism and drugs, you know. There is this drug called Gencom drug. I don't know if you can remember these thieves. I mentioned this. So what they do is, and this is poor man's stuff. They have a Ziploc bag, and they put their stool and urine in there, and they dry it up. After they dry it up, that's them. It gives them a fast pace of stupefaction, right? Sin. The depravity of man, sinfulness of sin, an abomination to God. Also, 6:10. 89 London Baptist of Confession of Faith describes sin is the willful breaking of the righteous law and commands given by God. Describes a state of original corruption where human nature is wholly defiled and dead sin following the fall. Sad. We had a sailor on board. The U.S. One of the aircraft carriers in Japan. I don't know if this is clear with you, but this is him. So when you go to deployment, folks, that's the last time you spend with your wife or your husband. So he kissed his wife, hugged his wife, and ship went underway, carrier went underway. And the guy was a signal man, so we went back in there, and we looked in there, there was another man already going like this to his wife. Devastated. He jumped overboard, started swimming back to the pier. Man overboard, port side. What's up? What's going on? The guy got in trouble because of that. Lots of these things. I was so devastated. I grew up in a Roman Catholic home. I got saved when I was 17. And then I look up to this pastor, really sharp, graduate of Doan Bible College. He was in the medical field. He stopped going to medical school, went to Bible college and served as the pastor of Dubuque First Baptist Church. Look up to him. I mean, he was the same thing, same beliefs in dispensation. He was a doctrine of grace as well, good theology. When my father passed away, went back in there, and he was the one who officiated my father's funeral. A couple years later, the news came to Maine that the pastor that I look up to very much is now with his choir director, who was a man as well. Devastated me because I got saved 17 years old through InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. A Sacred Bible study leader referred me to First Baptist, and I went there and started singing in the choir, active in church. And he was the one who started to. One of the reasons why I left the Roman Catholic Church, folks, aside from the fact that God saved me, is because we never studied the Bible. I loved when we had Sacred Bible studies with IBCF because we actually learned scriptures. And that kind of like pushed me to, you know, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go in this group because they studied God's word. And then slam, I got slammed with that report. But again, myself, I'm also a sinful man. The only bad thing is this. It affected his wife. It affected his kids big time as well. I don't know if you heard about this news. Pastor from Ghana, he said, I'm going to preserve myself for my future wife. And on the night of consummation, found that his wife was a male. Devastating. He was so mad. I know he's human, but he's a pastor. It's like he's a priest because of what he's wearing. He's actually a pastor. He was so mad, he stabbed her 20, 40 times in scarcely. The depravity of man, the sinfulness of sin, an abomination to God. Folks, man, we are not fireproof. The strongest man in the Bible, the wisest man in the Bible, and the most godly man in the Bible fell into sexual immorality. If you think you're wiser than Solomon, stronger than Samson, or more godly than David, good luck on that one. Help you. I intentionally added hamartiology because a lot of churches do not mention anymore about the doctrine of sin. Because congregants do not want to hear about that, and all they want to hear is about healing, prosperity, and other emotional mumbo-jumbo. Now, going back to the topic of marriage. Putting that sin nature in the back of your mind. Marriage is God's idea, not man. God designed marriage, not man. So purposes of marriage, I am illiterate to alliteration, but this is a good five piece right here that we can look at. Procreation. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I listened a lot to Bodie Buckham, had a total of 9 kids, 2 of which they're biologically, and they adopted 7 more. Pleasure, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Again, enjoy sex within the bond of matrimony. Outside that is called fornication or adultery. One time when I was listening to one of the podcasts there, Bodhi mentioned the concept of the word throuple. You know what throuple means? You know what couple means? Couple means just 2, right? Throuple means 3. Throuple means 3. So either you have 2 men and 1 woman, or 2 women and 1 man. And I've seen this in the ship with sailors. It's just bad memories I want to erase from my mind. Again, the depravity of man, the sinfulness of sin, an abomination to God. Next is picture or illustration. Ephesians 5:25, husband and wife. So, husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Let this verse sink in. I bet if you pay attention to this verse, there will be no arguments for 1 year. Amen? That's when the depravity of man or hamartology kicks in. That's why I mentioned the depravity of man last week, and also hamartology this week, because those two knuckleheads cause us to do just bad stuff. Four, provision. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. You take a wife to provide, protect, to pray for, to nourish, and to cherish her. Now, folks, when you get married, young adults, it's not well as long as you have a job and you're stable. Me, I was just an E3, E4, and I pursued Judy. I said, I'm gonna marry you. And so we started with in Japan. I was an E4. Man, my salary was so small. So what I did was, the common word in Japan is called gomi. Gomi is called the trash. But in Japan, trash is still very nice. I mean, so Japanese are rich people. Their refrigerator is still good. They don't put it inside the dumpster. They put it outside the dumpster so people can go in and get it. So Judy and I started with gomi. So you see, you know, Americans and Filipinos with coat and tie coming out from the church. And then when they see the dumpster, they start running and grab some microwave, TV. So Judy and I started with gomis for our love seat. We had another like couch or a bed. We started with that. I was in E3, E4. I didn't have enough money, but I was able to provide Judy with bread and butter on the table and a nice house. And then when I was E5, I got a little bit of pay increase. So Judy says, can you replace that couch? So I went to the exchange. How much is a couch? $1,200. I'm like, are you sure? The money was limited, and we were always sending money to the Philippines as well to help my family and Judy's family as well in Cebu. But Judy says, Pop, we've been having gomi for a long time. Can we have some like nice couch? I said, all right, we'll buy that. So I bought that couch, man. So we brought it to the tower. It would fit in the elevator because it's a Japanese elevator. So I called my friend, hey, Lloyd, can you come down, man? This is this massive Judy couch. It's not going to the elevator. And it's 5 floors. So he came down, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about my wife. Yes. As soon as I reached the fifth floor, it doesn't go inside the door. So I had to talk to my landlord and said, ma'am, can we open that window part in there? So I had to move the entire window, pull it out, and I was able to put Judy's couch in there. Provision! You take a wife to provide, protect, to pray for, to nourish, and to cherish her as well. Next, partnership in God's work. Joshua 24:15, bravo. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like to see couples working for God. I love to see Tom and Christy working all our computers and sights and sounds. What a blessing. I like to see David and Cole working with young adults and teaching us about love and marriage. Nicole and Dave, every time I learn something from you folks, I love my wife all the more. So I go like this, and I give her love. She takes the love and throws it back to me. That's a blessing. Stephen Emily, making sure that we have the song sheets and the special numbers and the hymns ready to go every Sunday. What a blessing. Thank you for that, folks. Judy has been my best friend. I love traveling with her, playing sports with her, serving the Lord with her, and just simply being with her. When she starts singing, man, it's just like Taylor Swift Filipino style. I just love being in the choir. Judy and I, my voice is average. Judy is, it's not, she has a nice voice. My voice is just average. But I don't know, Pastor Carl, I love being in the choir. So I was in Yokosuka Baptist Church. I was in the choir for 14 years. And then we transferred to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, part of Ohana Baptist Church. I joined the choir for about 6 years. And here, that's about 12 years with Lake County Baptist Church choir. I like it when Pastor Koa gives us some techniques in singing. Open your mouth. Sing. You know, crescendo, diminuendo, legato, adobo, whatever. You know, PK, I love it more if Jenny shows up on time. Even in marriage, we argue, we disagree. It's okay. I told my wife, we can disagree agreeably, but we still have to love each other. So I keep singing the song, I've got to play. Love and marriage. Scenario number one, Pastor Warren, Miss Ginny. You're in the hot seat, Miss Ginny. And so I see Pastor Warren, Miss Ginny, they said, hey, Cliff, let's go drive to Southern Illinois. You meet my parents. First time, 2007 time frame. And so Pastor was driving. Pastor doesn't want to use TomTom or GPS. So he just goes. And then there was a road that it's like he wasn't sure, Miss Ginny. I think you remember this. He doesn't know if it's right or left. Good work to turn. So he goes, Ginny, Matt, right or left? Easy, boy. He was a man, Pastor. I mean, it's not Miss Ginny. Miss Ginny goes, Miss Ginny, man, I love Miss Ginny. Cool as a cucumber. Cool, calm, collected. She goes, Pastor, you have to turn right because the sun rises from the east. I'm like, boom! Thank God for that. I was about to try to hide somewhere. Miss Ginny said that very, very nicely. Pastor Noel, that's a true guy. Scenario number two. So I have, where's the Satish? Okay. So Satish and Rashida and Sujit invited us to Aroma. Can you smell it? Aroma is an Indian restaurant. So Noel was driving, and then Pachunga was there, Judy, and then I was right here. And man, I just praise God for Noel's patience. Pachunga was there, and you already have Way saying, turn left, turn right onto Tuwar. And then Pachunga, daddy left, daddy right, straight daddy, and like, man. And Judy was saying something at the back too, my goodness. Just love and marriage, man. Cliff and Judy, scenario number two. You know what, Trump and Hegseth, pretty successful with Operation Epic Fury. I have my house, Operation Epic Judy. She was mad at me one time. And me goes, you buy flowers to your wife, right? So I buy flowers a lot of times to my wife. If I've done something wrong, buy more flowers, right? And so I shared this last Sunday. So I had my flower, and Judy was so mad. All person happened to Judy, and she was so mad. I said, Mom, I'm sorry. Kill the flower. And she looked at me, and she said, Phone wet. I was like, that's $9.99 in Jewel Osco. So, 85.79% when Judy and I argued right in the car. Because if you're a passenger, you just wait. The driver's going to drive to point B. But she wants to say something, and it just, you know, stop. Just let me go drive. One time, I think she was going to surgery. I have to tell this, my confession of my sins and yours as well. So, when you're driving, folks, to the hospital, it was like this. Path, two paths, right? But point A, point B. So you can go in here, you can go in here. You should go to point B. So I was driving this way, and it throws me off, and she says, this, you go turn here, not there. It's the same. And so I just went here. And man, she cried because she's going to have a surgery. and just and say, Ma, it's the same. We're going to the hospital. But I want to go here, not here. Man, so like 85% of something is caused by like in the car. But I love her all the more. Back to forced separation, the core challenge. Long distance marriages are increasingly common but remain deeply challenging, particularly because the at-home spouse shoulders a double burden. Beyond logistics, business travel takes a measurable toll on families. The danger isn't merely distance itself, it is the mindset that develops around work. Men often feel stronger pressure to provide financially, which can gradually elevate work's importance beyond what's healthy. Now, when a father commits to giving his best at work and honoring professional expectations, this can create a perfect storm that transforms work into an all-consuming drive, slowly separating him from his family. Protecting marriage. Staying emotionally close to your wife, despite physical distance, requires deliberate effort, and doing so directly supports your ability to care for your children. This means recognizing that your wife needs appreciation and support, not resentment about your absence. Husbands need to feel appreciated, but the reverse is equally true. Traveling fathers must actively demonstrate that they value their wife's sacrifice. Keep reading this one from me. Practically, this involves maintaining regular, meaningful contact, not logistical check-ins. Creating a travel calendar that includes planned outings and a welcome home celebration helps both spouses and children feel that family life continues meaningfully despite separation. So here's the broader perspective. Traveling fathers are often lonely and exhausted themselves, a reality that deserves acknowledgement. Yet there are no do-overs in fatherhood, folks. Every opportunity to strengthen your marriage and family relations matters, because today is all you're guaranteed. The question isn't whether work is important, but whether it's allowed to become more important than the relationship it's meant to support. Let's say it one more time. The question isn't whether work is important, but whether it's allowed to become more important than the relationship it's meant to support. There are some biblical foundations for enduring forced separation. Even though the Bible does not directly address modern forms of forced separation, its principles are deeply relevant. So number one, covenant love is meant to endure hard seasons. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. I think my most difficult time in the Navy was on board USS Tietam. I shared this with a couple of my homeboys. There was a problem with so you have a command triad, you have an engineering triad. And there was a problem with the engineering triad. So I was engineering top snipe. You have a chief engineer and the MPA. MPA was a Filipino. He told me he was a Pentecostal preacher. But every sentence that I hear from here, he drops some F-bombs, B-bombs, and S-bombs. So I struggled for 1 year. And then it affected my job. I said, Lord, just 1 day at a time for me, 1 year. I think my failure at that time, I never told Judy, because I don't want to burden her as well, because she's got some issues with work as well. And again, we're sending support to the Philippines, to Cebu, and Dumaguete. So I took that upon myself, folks. I said, Lord, is this your will? This is after I left Great Lakes. Is this your will for me to be here? Man, I had a rough time. I mean, Pastor Koa, Pastor Noah, that was the first time I prayed an imprecatory prayer. I prayed an imprecatory, folks, prayer. I said, hopefully this guy, you know, jumps into the ocean and taken by Shamu or Josh. Man, I had a hard time. I mean, that was a time in my life that I was waiting in the pier, waiting for the last minute to go to the ship. I was 18, 19 years in the Navy. I said, Lord, just 1 year, I need to retire. But you know what? God works in mysterious ways. That chief warrant officer was the engineering duty officer that day. And he left 4:30 a.m. to go to Atsugi for a golf course, to play golf. But he was the person in charge for the engine department on the plant. And he took up at 4:30 a.m. to play golf. Unfortunately, we had a major casualty. There was a lubricant leak on the cooler, and the seawater was mixed with DuBois, and he wasn't there. You're talking millions of dollars of cost for the engineering department. But the Lord, I guess the Lord allowed that to happen, and then I was told by my people, my engineers and my officers. They said, "Senior, I'm glad that he's gone." And I said, why did you guys tell me all this before so we can put it and talk to the senior officer? I mean, this is a guy who's an officer in the Navy and tells fellow female officers, "Hey, what's up, girl? What is the softest part of the human female body? Conduct unbecoming of an officer." But eventually, that officer went to Captain's Mess and got kicked out of the ship. And I was so happy. I mean, my life was back, and God was with me the remaining 2 years on the ship. But I struggled. Folks, I told Judy after that. I should have told her way before that so she can pray for me. But I struggled. I was an EA at the time already, but that was the longest time I had when I was in the Navy. I was already an EA. Now, one thing I like with being deployed is during major deployments, Aloha used to sing songs for me. Judy records it and send it to me. And on the other hand, I record myself, record VHS tapes that time. I do Bible stories and I sing for her as well. And I send those tapes, and Aloha basically can listen to her dad while I was far away. Aloha has been a tremendous blessing to me and Judy, Legion child. Day she was born, and up to the time that she left home and did what God has set for her in Nevada. I mean, I followed seashore rotation, folks, that I had in the Navy to keep my sanity. I took Judy out for dates consistently. Let's do that, man. And on separate days, I took Aloha out for dates since she was 7 years old to the time that she left the house. We always have our ice cream dates. When she was 1 year old, I started to take her to the Minimart, and I gave her the Twix chocolate. And then I give half to her and half to me. It was neat. One time, she was really big, and she went to the store and came out and gave a Twix to me. She gave the other side of the Twix and then me as well. And I was like, man. Judy served as a father and a mother for Aloha when I was deployed for 10 months. She did a wonderful job imposing discipline and at the same time giving her the utmost love that a mother can give to a daughter. One thing I will never forget with Aloha, folks, I was a prison warden for 3 years. I had a graveyard shift. It's 12 hours. I worked at 7 o'clock in the evening, always 7 in the morning. I was tired. So I went home. I know Judy was tired too. So I went home. Judy gave Aloha to me. She was, I think, 2 years old at that time. And then Aloha saw me. I was tired, man. She looked at me and she goes, "Pa, Mama's tired, so she's sleeping." She looked at me and said, "Pa, you're tired too. You go sleep." And she said, "I sit down here, God will take care of me." I said, "Girl, that's the faith of a 2-year-old, folks." Next, marriage is a union God holds together. Whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19:6. Here's some very practical advice, just in case you experience forced separation from your families. For the deployed parent from afar, communicate consistently, stay involved. Send personalized notes, back up your partner, and then pray consistently for your spouse and your children as well. And for the parent on the home front and the family, maintain routines, be honest, enforce rules, be consistent with discipline, because children may test boundaries. Encourage connection as well. Support your children's emotions, acknowledge feelings, and watch for stress signals. Suffering can produce perseverance. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I think the roughest time that Judy and I and the Lord experienced was when we got hit by that big-time earthquake in Japan. Folks, I was underway, March 2011, I was on a ship. Judy was working, and the Lord was in Hakijimi Park, close to the ocean. And we got slammed by the 9.0 in the Richter scale. I mean, after that, it was followed by a big-time tsunami. And then 2 Fukushima reactors went down. So you're talking about radiation, high Siebert level, tsunami, and an earthquake, and you're away from your family. Folks, I thought that was the last time to hear my wife say, I love you. But we were able to go through that ordeal and many others as well, only by the grace of God. Next is faithfulness is non-negotiable. Faithfulness is non-negotiable. Faithfulness is a reflection of God's character. Physical separation does not cancel spiritual unity. Love endures distance, and God honors those who remain faithful. I can remember, I had beautiful, every time me and Judy argue, I think about the good things that happened in the past to make me still love her. And so one thing that I will never forget with Judy was the day that I left Cebu, it's like, I'm going to the Navy. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't know if that's good or not. But for me, I need to have a girlfriend so that I won't be dealing with beautiful blondes and brunettes in the U.S. I'm going to stay with this Panay in Dumaguete. Man, I said, Lord, this is it, man. I'm going to give it a shot. So I said, if I'm going to start to hold her hand. If she goes like this, she doesn't like me. But if she holds it, I think I have a chance. Suppose I held her hand. Man, she squeezed my hand. And then I said, okay, still I had to tell her. So I told Judy, you know, I love you. I love you, girl. Can you be my girlfriend? Man, she looked at me straight in the eye. She said, I don't want you. She goes, I don't want you. Stop loving me. I'm like, yeah, me. Aloha was born after that. Love is action, not proximity. Being prayerful, distance reveals character, and then also emotional transparency. Here's the final encouragement, folks. I'm almost there. Forced separation is difficult, but many marriages emerge stronger, more grateful, and more unified afterward. The key is being intentional, transparent, prayerful, and faithful. Let me read this last story and then we'll pray. I would like to end this Sunday school time with a story about the USS Mason. An Oliver destroyer was targeted in multiple unsuccessful missile attacks by Iran-backed Houthi rebels off the coast of Yemen in October 2016 and then 2020 and 24. At Naval Station Mayport, families waited nearly 9 months, folks, for sailors of the USS Mason to come home. That is forced separation. Their sailors had faced danger in the Red Sea and Mediterranean Sea, so much so that a Navy wife for 20 years said the constant news made her more anxious than ever before. Yet she said, we have faith in God, and we know he was going to bring him home. Another mother waiting on that same pier said, I cried every day, I cried every night, I prayed every day, I prayed every night. Her son was serving on a ship that had come under heavy fire, and every headline felt like a punch to the chest. But still she prayed. And finally, anchor, ship colors. And when those sailors finally stepped off the ship, one of them said with tears, my God kept me strong. My faith kept me strong. All I can do is thank God for keeping me safe. Folks, that is Psalm 107 lived out in real time. Those who go down to the sea in ships, they see the works of the Lord in the deep. That pier in Mayport became a living reminder of Hebrews 6:9. We had this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Because of that day, hundreds of families learned what Scripture has always promised. Even when the sea rages, God is faithful. Even when the nights stretch long, God is near. Even when we are forced apart, God brings his children safely home. So whatever separation, whatever storm, whatever distance you're facing, hold on to the fear, pray through the storm, keep your anchor still. And at the end of that successful deployment, after being forced apart from your wife and your beautiful children, you can say, Amen, Hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Because the same God who brought those sailors home is still the same God bringing his people home, even to this day. I'm out of time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for that anchor, for the soul, firm and secure. Thank you for the hope that is found in you. You said, nobody can snatch us out from your hand. Nobody can snatch us out from the Father's hand. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. A powerful work of eternal assurance
coming from the triune God. That is such a tremendous blessing. Bless our services this morning, and to Matt as well, but Pastor Kohler, and Pastor Noel, and we commit to you. Pastor Warren, keep them safe, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Mama. Appreciate it.